Hey guys, this is Production Master Dave. We're all here with a short note before we get into this week's episode. That notice is this. This podcast is switching from once a week to once every other week. Why is that? Well, it's because Dave almost had a nervous breakdown. Dave only has so many hours in the day, and if you've been on this podcast, you know how much editing goes into this. Apparently, the world is opening up again. We all don't have as much time as we used to 2 years ago when we started all this. So instead of closing the podcast because we don't have enough time, we're just going to lighten the load a little bit. So we are now switching from every week to every other week. So your next episode will be in 2 weeks' time.
But if you are one of our valued Patreon Patron subscribers, do not fret. Anything that happens over there is not going to be altered in any way. You will still get an empty studio episode in your feeds on Fridays, your monthly golden ticket episodes for subscribers at all levels, and our monthly game shelf decathlons still happening near the end of every month. So while we are going bi-weekly for our main feed episodes, everything on the Patreon is staying just as it is.
We, of course, value all your patronage, your support, and your listenership more than you can imagine. It makes it worthwhile for us to do all of this, and we thank you for your support.
It's all your fault. Taking so much time over your beer. I told you we had to get home before sunset.
Well, I'm afraid of the dark. The darkness won't hurt us.
If you wake up dead in the morning, your body drained dry of blood, you'll be afraid of the dark.
Afraid of the dark.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that has identical pagination in every edition, regardless of clef or transposition. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Rob Papa Bear Corridon.
Grab a spoon because you're about to taste defeat.
Chloe, the producer, gracias.
The only thing I'm making today is a mess of the competition.
And Tom, deep dish blueberry bacon pie, Beneke.
You want to know what's inside? A can of whoop ass.
Hello to everyone and welcome back to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show's 7th season. Today we are playing the first elimination match in the Vancouver Rehearsal Tapes division. Joining us today in lieu of Scoremaster Dan, who is out doing political science things, is pulling double duty, combination Scoremaster, Production Master, Master of All, Dave. Hey, Dave. My sentiments exactly. All right, well, now it's time to get into our first game of the day, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has picked a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture, but we choose the battle those champions are fighting. Wallet Inspector Rob Corridon, who is your champion today?
My champion is Harry Stamper from the film Armageddon.
Theater artist and troubadour extraordinaire Chloe Gracias, who have you got for your champion?
My champion is Molly Weasley from the Harry Potter series.
And you've heard him on season 5 of this very podcast. It's escape room enthusiast, Tom Beneke. Tom, who've you got?
Got Jenna Hunterson from the musical Waitress.
All right, all three champions are locked in, so let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who is going to best lay claim to territory by peeing on things? Rob, why is Harry Stamper, played wonderfully by Bruce Willis in the film Armageddon, going to best lay claim to his territory by peeing on stuff?
Well, Harry Stamper is an oil driller by profession, which hits two of these categories. One, he needs to claim a lot of territory for drilling. And the other is that he has to learn how to pee freely wherever the opportunity comes up. And so he's well-practiced, possibly the most well-practiced on Earth and in outer space.
Thank you, Rob. All right, Chloe, why is Molly Weasley going to mark her territory by peeing on things?
Listen, Taylor, Molly Weasley may be one of the strongest witches in the land, but she also raised a gaggle of sons in her time, which means all she's ever dealt with is pee. And you know, with all those children running around, she is going to have to lay claim to her own territory. You know, Molly Weasley may be able to get a stain out, but she can also keep a stain in.
Thank you, Chloe. And Tom, make the case for Jenna from the musical Waitress.
Well, we know a few things about Jenna from the musical. Obviously, she knows how to take what she wants and obviously can lay a claim to it. She's also pregnant, kind of the premise of the musical itself. So she has some experience peeing on things. This will not be her first time. That pregnancy also resulted in a baby and may not be a gaggle of kids, but at least one. So she's going to be familiar with that kind of thing as well.
All right. All three arguments have been locked in. Now it's time for production master Dave to determine today's my champion winner. Dave, who's it going to be?
All right. It's not going to be the waitress. I don't buy that argument. I mean, everybody pees on something at some part in their life. The question is, peeing to mark territory. I think just on the surface, Harry Stamper just seems like he's got everything you need. He has a job, often nowhere near anything, so he's used to just peeing in the wild. He seems like the kind of guy that would pee on something in order to mark it. I don't believe he owns the territories he's mining, so I don't think he's actually peeing on it as a form of communicating ownership, but I get the argument. But here's the thing. I think staying out, staying in was my favorite thing anybody's ever uttered in my champion to date. The slogan sold me. So in true Don Draper style, Madison Avenue has sold me on the idea of Molly Weasley being the best on peeing on things to mark territory.
Heck yes, and magical it is.
Congratulations, Chloe. You have won my champion, which means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is your half-point question. Speaking of important peas in familiar territory, in which movie does Patrick Swayze make a teen pee in a truck radiator?
Not Dirty Dancing, although that'd make it really dirty. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and go for, like, Roadhouse.
Good guess. In this case, though, we're talking about Red Dawn, keeping that truck in order after the invasion. Now, you may have missed the half point, Chloe, but you still get to go first in round one. Who let the dogs out? The internet would have us believe that any situation can be improved by adding some friendly, helpful dogs to the mix. In this game, we're going to put that to the test by adding dogs to pop culture properties. We'll give you the description of an existing pop culture property that's had some good boys added in, and you have to tell us the title of the dogified property, which includes a dog-related word that rhymes with a word in the original title. So, for instance, if I told you about a 1965 movie in which a young woman is brought in to train a family of seven pups but winds up teaching them to sing, you'd know that dogified title was...
The Hound of Music.
The Hound of Music, a dogified version of The Sound of Music. That answer would get you 10 points. If you need some help, I can tell you about one of the people involved in the original property, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. We'll start off with our My Champion winner, Chloe. This is a 2007 TV show. It's a reality series following a family of dogs that's mostly famous for being famous.
Okay, I know the family. I just have to think of the pun.
The full name of that series is Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So here we're talking Keeping Pup with the Kardashians.
Ugh.
Next up to Rob. It's a 2020 movie. A dog who loves loud music has to adjust when his hearing starts to go.
I don't think I've seen this except for the preview, but is this The Hound of Music? Sorry.
Ugh. In this case, we're talking Hound of Metal, starring Riz Ahmed, based off Sound of Metal, that 2020 Amazon movie. Next to Tom. It's a 2021 movie. Some very good boys try to warn everyone about an upcoming disaster. No one listens.
Don't Look, Pup.
For 10 points to Tom. Next up, back to Chloe. It's a 1975 movie. It's a follow-up to True Grit, in which a good boy teams up with a preacher's daughter to track down her father's killers.
Oh, no. Oh, no. A follow-up to True Grit? Pass.
Rob knows this one.
Is this Rooster Dogburn?
Yes, off the True Grit sequel, Rooster Cogburn. next to Rob. It's a 2001 movie. Dogs at a 1930s hunting resort cope with upstairs-downstairs drama and a shooting.
I think I'm going to need the hint, please.
This movie stars Maggie Smith.
I'm going to have to pass.
This is the Best Picture nominated Gosford Park turning into Gosford Bark. Next up to Tom, a 2020 movie. A quartet of dogs decides to try getting drunk every day.
Ooh, I thinking 2020 movies. My first thought was like The Hangover, but there's definitely not a 2020 version of that. Can I get a hint?
This movie stars Mads Mikkelsen.
Pass, I have no idea.
Rob?
Is it Second Hound?
You're in the right vicinity. Another Hound. Another Hound, based off the Danish film Another Round from Thomas Vinterberg. Next up, back to Chloe. It's a 2001 movie. A time loop and a plane crash are among the things confusing a puppy in the late 1980s.
Oh, I just watched this. Wait a minute. It's Donnie Barco?
For the full 10. Well done.
Yes, I just saw this for the first time 2 days ago.
Nice.
Good timing.
Next to Rob. It's a 1996 movie. A washed-up older dog tries to use golf to win over a rival's partner.
That would be Tin Pup.
Correct for 10. Over to Tom. It's a 1966 TV show. Dogs at a gothic manor encounter witches, time travel, vampires, and more.
Bark Shadows?
Yes, that old soap opera Dark Shadows turned to Bark Shadows. Now we'll hear our first score break from Score Master Dave.
We have a tie at the bottom with 10 apiece. It is Chloe and Rob. Tom has double that. He's up top with 20.
All right, still anyone's game. Still here in round one. This next dogified title is for Chloe. It's a 2003 movie. A woman is evicted from her home and begins a destructive conflict with the pups that move in.
Can I get the hint, please?
This movie stars Jennifer Connelly.
That's going to have to be a pass.
Rob?
Is that House of Sand and Dog?
Yes, based on House of Sand and Fog with her and Ben Kingsley. Next to Rob, we're going off a 1990 TV series. A group of pups gather in the woods to tell each other spooky stories.
I wouldn't get this, but I think the clue at the beginning helped. I think this is Scary Stories to Tell in the Bark.
Afraid of the Dark.
Chloe?
Is it Are You Afraid of the Bark?
Similarly framed properties, but that Nickelodeon series is indeed Are You Afraid of the Bark, based on Are You Afraid of the Dark. Next over to Tom. It's a 2008 movie. A dog is haunted by the secret that leads him to give everything away to strangers that he deems worthy.
Seven Hounds.
Very good. For 10, based off 7 Pounds with Will Smith and Rosario Dawson. One more dogified title for each player. This one is for Chloe. Basing off a 1971 rock band. Like most dogs, the members of this rock group prefer a slow ride around town and taking it easy.
Can I have the hint, please?
This band includes Dave Peverett.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Dad, if you figured this out, but I'm going to have to pass.
This answer's got real dad energy
yeah,
to it.
It does.
It's dog yeah, it hat. Does. Instead of fog hat, it's dog
oh,
hat.
Oh, no. That was my dad's first concert. I'm so sorry, Dad.
Next up to Rob. It's a 1978 movie. Two dogs unwittingly smuggle drugs from Mexico to L.A.
I think I'm going to need the hint.
It stars Cheech Marin.
I could have guessed that. I'm just trying to think about what... Oh, is this Pup in Smoke?
Correct for 5. And closing out round one with Tom, we've got a 2007 movie. A group of older suburban dogs get themselves in trouble when they hit the open road in New Mexico.
I'll take a hint.
This movie stars Martin Lawrence.
Wild Dogs?
Yes, riffing on Wild Hogs, the ultimate midlife crisis movie. That is Wild Dogs. Well, that'll finish up round one. Up next, the scores from Dave and on to round two. Hey, listeners, Taylor here to tell you about what's happening this week on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Patreon. Coming up this Monday, a week from today, on Memorial Day, will be our next Game Shelf Decathlon. I'll be hosting about an hour or so of trivia and games on Zoom with friends and listeners and hosts of this Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. So come join us for a good way to wrap up your holiday weekend on Memorial Day Monday. Get access to that Zoom link at usaquizshow.com/membership to sign up. See you there.
Going into round two, it's time for the backup score break. Always bring backup. At this time, Tom is in the lead with 35. Rob is in second place with 15. And Chloe is in third with 10. But that means she gets to go first in round two.
It also means Chloe gets to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Chloe, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each correct answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. Name the two dogs and one cat at the center of 1993's Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, as voiced by Michael J. Fox, Don Ameche, and Sally Field.
Okay, the cat is Sassy. The golden retriever is Shadow. And I believe the last one is his name. Oh, God. My gut says Spot, but I think that's wrong. It's Scamp? No.
So close. Tom's looking like he knows this one.
I think it's Chance.
Yes, Michael J. Fox voicing Chance. But still 20 points to Chloe for Shadow and Sassy. Very good.
Hey.
And we're going to keep on the canine beat with round two today, entitled Bad Dogs. The internet likes to say that they're all good dogs, but pop culture is replete with dogs that would not get a 14 out of 10. In this game, we'll explain why a dog might not be a good boy, and you have to name the pop culture property they come from. So, if we told you that in this live-action version of a classic cartoon, a diminutive pup breaks away from some meddling kids and is revealed to have made a bargain with dark powers to gain stature and torment his enemies, you'd know that was a bad dog from the movie
Scooby-Doo.
Yes, because that's what we wanted in a live-action Scooby-Doo movie, demonic Scrappy. That answer would get you 10 points. If you need more help, I can tell you a little bit more about the property the bad dog is in, at which point a correct answer becomes 10, and then afterwards you can earn 10 more points by answering a related follow-up. We'll start round two with Chloe. In this origin story movie, the Baroness murders the title character's adoptive mother with her three spotted dogs.
Oh my God, that is violent.
They're bad dogs, Chloe.
They are horrible dogs. That is a boop on the snoot waiting to happen. The Baroness and three. Yeah, I'm going to take the hint.
It's a 2021 Emma Thompson movie.
It's probably one of those really, really good movies I failed to see with all that spare time I had. I'm going to shoot at Knives Out. Yeah, I don't know.
Not quite. This is the 2021 Disney prequel Cruella with Emma Stone as a young Cruella de Vil.
I did not see that. So that would, yeah, that would do it.
All right, Chloe. The 1996 live action 101 Dalmatians has a screenplay by this filmmaker, mostly known for comedies of the 1980s.
Ron Howard.
It's going to be John Hughes writing the Glenn Close 101 Dalmatians.
Similar vein.
over to Rob. We know that this title dog from a book and the movie based on it is really sick rather than genuinely malicious, but he still does some terrifying things.
This is one of my earliest memories from growing up. The movie is Cujo.
Yes, for 20. Still for Rob, the novel of Cujo has a number of ties to this other adapted Stephen King book, with hints that Cujo is being possessed by the spirit of Frank Dodd.
I don't really know much about Stephen King, but I will guess Pet Sematary.
It's a great guess. This is going to be The Dead Zone, Frank Dodd being a character from The Dead Zone. And Stephen King puts Marvel to shame with all his interconnected shared universe nonsense. Next up to Tom. In this animated feature, a Doberman does his best to keep down the lovable Doug, but his evil explorer owner is responsible for most of his bad actions.
Doug, that's what's tripping me up, because I had a guess, but... I'll take the hint.
A 2009 Pixar movie.
Oh, duh, Up.
It was tripping you up.
Yep.
Oh. Now, still for Tom, in Up, the evil Charles Muntz is voiced by this Oscar winner.
Never seen it, so I can just guess an Oscar winner. And I'll make a guess, and it won't even be an Oscar winner, but... I don't know, Al Pacino, that sounds fun.
Al Pacino is an Oscar winner, and I want him in a Pixar movie desperately now. But in this case, this is a pre-Oscar Christopher Plummer voicing the evil explorer Charles Muntz. Next bad dog description is for Chloe. Given the nature of his enemies, it makes sense that the Egyptian-themed bad guy on this cartoon pals around with an evil, maybe intelligent, bulldog.
An Egyptian-themed bad guy and a bulldog. My brain immediately goes to Rocky and Bullwinkle, but I don't think that's right. Can I have the hint?
It's a 1985 cartoon revived in 2011 and 2020.
Oh, I have no idea. I have to pass.
In this case, we're talking about villains from Thundercats. Thundercats with that bulldog. Still for Chloe, in the original Thundercats, what does Lion-O say when he activates the Eye of Thundera?
Thundercats are go! No!
No, that's what Juno McGuff says when her water breaks. Thunder, 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 Thundercats ho is technically the exact phrase that Lion-O said in that original series.
Yeah, I like mine better.
Everybody loves their own brand.
Yes.
Having only seen Juno and not Thundercats, I would have assumed that that was right.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
All right, next one is for Rob. In this movie, based on a book, a yellow lab wreaks havoc on his owner's neighborhood and relationship, but at least it makes for a series of good newspaper columns.
Yellow lab. I think I'm going to need the hint.
A 2008 Jennifer Aniston movie.
Oh. I'm not going to give any spoilers. Is that Marley and Me?
Correct for 10. Rob, the 2011 direct-to-video prequel to Marley and Me has this character portrayed by Grayson Russell from the Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies.
I really have no idea. I'm going to guess Matthew.
Take another guess, but just take another guess.
Yeah. Like, okay. If you could think of a single character's name from Marley and Me, who would it be?
Marley?
Yes, because Marley can talk in the prequel, but not in the original movie.
Cool.
Next up to Tom. In this kid's movie, a ruthless loan shark named Sykes has a pair of vicious dogs that go about intimidating both the main gang of characters and Fagin.
Another one where I have an idea, but I'm not confident. No, because what I'm thinking of is crocodiles, not dogs. I'll take a hint.
It's a 1988 animated movie with the voice of Billy Joel.
All I can think of is The Adventures Down Under, and it's crocodiles, it's not dogs, but Or is it the other version that it's not the knockoff, they happen at the same time? What is that called? The rescue.
Need an answer, Tom.
The Adventurers Down Under.
Chloe knows the answer here.
Oliver and Company.
Yes, with Sykes and Fagin also being character names from Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist. And so we don't get letters. The Rescuers Down Under, I believe, is the exact title of what you were trying to pull.
Yes.
Oh, the crocodiles are just in the original The Rescuers. It's like a weird mongoose lizard thing that George C. Scott carries around in The Rescuers Down Under. I watched both Rescuers
I'm glad
in the
you
past
know.
5 weeks. So
for
I'm
more information, check out Taylor's spinoff podcast, Rescuers.
Still for Tom, as a follow-up, Oliver and Company was released to theaters on the same day as this prehistoric Don Bluth movie.
I'm assuming it's not related, like, the Bluths of Arrested Development, but I do not know who that is. Yeah, pass.
Chloe's stealing all Tom's answers today.
We're back, A Dinosaur Tale?
That's going to be The Land Before Time, that Don Bluth movie in 1988. We're Back, A Dinosaur Story, of course, 1993, because it was released right around the same time as Jurassic Park. Our next bad dog is for Chloe. This movie sees the main character's father mutate a trio of dogs, and then he sends them to kill the main character's love interest and provoke him into a confrontation.
Wow, that sounds horrible. Can I have the hint?
It's a 2003 Eric Bana movie.
That was so helpful. really happy I have that tucked in my pocket now. Okay, so they watch three dogs get, like, transmutated, and then they get sent to kill a lover. Pass. I have... nope, pass.
This is going to be the 2003 Eric Bana version of Hulk, with Nick Nolte as his evil father. Still for Chloe, as a nod to the previous iterations of Hulk, the 2003 movie features security guards played by Stan Lee and this bodybuilder.
A bodybuilder? Is it Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Rob?
Is it Lou Ferrigno?
Yes, from the old Incredible Hulk TV series cameoing in that movie. Next up to Rob. In this series, a depraved bastard is known for feeding people to his dogs, but eventually gets ripped apart by those same dogs.
Yeah, so that depraved bastard was on Game of Thrones?
Yes, we're talking Ramsay Bolton. Still for Rob, this Game of Thrones actor was nominated 8 consecutive times for the Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series Emmy.
Oh, I can see... see, his name is Peter Dinklage.
Correct for another 10. Our next bad dog is for Tom. The captain of the title vessel on this series has an adorable beagle, but in an evil parallel universe, he has a snarling Rottweiler.
I'll take the hint.
A 2001 Scott Bakula TV series.
Am I thinking of the right guy? Because that's Quantum Leap, but that's not a ship. I'm sure he's done other things, but Quantum Leap.
Chloe?
Star Trek Enterprise.
Yes. Back to Tom for the follow-up. The last episode of Enterprise featured a number of characters from this iteration of Star Trek watching a holodeck simulation.
Is this just the original series?
Chloe?
Star Trek Voyager?
It's going to be The Next Generation in that Enterprise finale. And that'll take us to our next score update from Acting Scoremaster Dave.
Thank you, thank you. After 9 questions, our scores are Chloe in third with 30, Tom in second with 45, and at the top, it's Rob with 75.
Back in it with Chloe, your next bad dog pop culture description. In this kids' movie, a dog kills his business partner, sending him to a terrifying afterlife in order to gain control of a casino that they opened together. Later, he tries to kill the main character again, this time with a machine gun.
All dogs go to heaven.
Don't They Ever. Yes, for 20. Chloe, in sequels and follow-ups to All Dogs Go to Heaven, the evil Carface Carruthers was voiced by this Airwolf star.
I don't know. I pass.
Rob?
Is that Jan Michael Vincent?
It's actually in the sequels and follow-ups, it was Ernest Borgnine was Carface Carruthers.
Of course. Silly me.
Next up, over to Rob. He's just acting as a guard dog, but to thieves breaking into the house of a seemingly helpless man in this movie, the man's dog is a pretty significant threat.
I'm going to need the hint, please.
It's a 2016 Stephen Lang movie.
So a 2016 movie for people breaking into a man's house and he has a dog to protect them. I am at a loss, so I'm just going to pass.
That movie was the thriller Don't Breathe with Stephen Lang and Jane Levy with the blind man defending his house from home invaders. It's pretty good if you haven't seen it. I liked it a lot. Still for Rob, in what 2009 movie did actor Stephen Lang's character die, despite the fact that he's set to reprise his role in multiple upcoming sequels?
So a 2009 movie where the character died, but they bring them back in upcoming sequels. That smells Marvel-y to me, and I'm going to say Iron Man.
Tom knows this one?
Knows is a strong word, but Avatar?
Yes, Stephen Lang playing the evil Colonel Quaritch in Avatar.
What other movie do you have that's taking this many years for sequels?
Very true. All right, Tom, next one's for you. After somehow traveling back to Arthurian times, the hero on this show is menaced by what seems to be a demonic dog, but he beats it by cobbling together a dog whistle.
Ooh. Just take a guess and go for the points. Is this Wishbone?
I love that guess. I wish it was Wishbone. In this case, though, if you're crazily cobbling something together, it's got to be MacGyver. Now, Tom, the second part of the MacGyver time travel episode featured the shocking reveal of MacGyver's first name. What is MacGyver's first name?
It's got to be MacGyver, right?
That was a really good guess, actually.
In this case, though, it is not Cosmo. It is Angus MacGyver, is that reveal. One more pop culture bad dog for each player. This one is for Chloe. In this show, an unhappy teen tries to ruin prom by training a trio of hellhounds to attack anyone in formal wear.
I don't think it's right, but this smells like Supernatural to me. No.
Something that definitely has a big fan base crossover with Supernatural, Tom.
Is it Buffy?
Yes, the prom episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now, Chloe, the same episode of Buffy has the end of the relationship between Buffy and this love interest.
I've been telling myself for years I needed to actually watch Buffy and I didn't. But I'm going to guess based on conjecture. Is it the end of her relationship with that like Angel or something like that? Angel!
Angel is correct. The prom is the third to last episode before Angel got his spinoff. Next up to Rob. In this game, the dog is theoretically helping you, but he's mainly remembered for mocking players who do poorly, which is really just putting salt on the wound.
That would be Duck Hunt.
Yes, an old school video game, Duck Hunt. Rob, elements of Duck Hunt, including the dog, have been featured in this long-running fighting game franchise.
This is the only reason I know it. I play it with my kids all the time. It's Super Smash Brothers.
Another 10 for Rob. Next up to Tom. The kids in this beloved movie are terrified of a large dog that seems to enjoy collecting anything that goes into his yard, but turns out he's a sweetheart.
Is this The Sandlot?
Yes, the Beast is in The Sandlot. Very good. Now, Tom, the third Sandlot movie features a time travel plot and this 90210 actor?
Ooh.
You know, for a series of questions about bad dogs, there has been quite a few references to time travel in this.
Right. I'm pretty sure he's making this question up, but I mean, at least I listened to a recap podcast of 90210, so I can guess an actor, but.
What's the name of the podcast?
Again with Us.
Oh, okay. Good producer over there, I hear.
Ian Ziering.
It's going to be Luke Perry in The Sandlot 3. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dave and on to our final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dave's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win a chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dave.
Built by dad, upgraded by daughter. Strider's on combine, he do slaughter. He protect, he attack. Most important, he got Alex's back.
Think you know the answer to that? Then go to usaquizshow.com/riddle and submit that answer for the chance to win the prize. Then find the answer to that riddle 1 week after this episode comes out on our social media pages. We are on Twitter and Instagram at USA Quiz Show. Thanks for the riddle, Dave. How about a score break?
You betcha. Going into round three, it's time for the Mr. Peanut Butter and Backup score break. Mr. Peanut Butter and Backup, is this a crossover score break? At this time, Rob is in the lead with 105 points. Right behind is Tom with 65, and Chloe is in third with 60. That means Chloe gets to go first in round three and will need 5 correct answers to move into first.
All right, Chloe, 5 answers sounds doable because anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer provided. Today's categories are Good Boys Hunting, Old Weller, Joe Don Barker, and Year of the Dog. Now, those topics might be a little bit mysterious, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do best on, or perhaps you want to keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Chloe, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the 4 categories would you like? Once again, they are Good Boys Hunting, Old Weller, Joe Don Barker, and Year of the Dog.
I will go with Old Weller.
Do you have a guess as to what's going on with Old Weller?
I think this is going to be like medical dramas, medical shows, maybe a play on that.
Not quite. It's not Old Yeller, keeping with the dog theme of today, but Old Weller is actor Peter Weller. So we're talking about the various career roles of actor Peter Weller.
Great.
Best of luck.
It's going to be trouble.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Chloe, are you ready?
Absolutely.
He voices the old version of this superhero in the animated adaptation of The Dark Knight Returns.
Batman?
Weller played corrupt ex-cop Charlie Borowski on this FX drama series.
Pass.
Both on and off screen, Weller has played in a jazz band with this Jurassic Park actor.
Anthony Hopkins?
Jeff Goldblum. Contrary to rumors, this John Carpenter flick did not start life as a Buckaroo Banzai sequel.
Pass.
On a recent CBS revival, Weller is the ex-cop antagonist of this resourceful title character.
Pass.
He's Captain Paul Gallico in a 2005 TV version of this oft-remade nautical disaster flick.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
The Poseidon Adventure. He stars alongside this Top Gun actress in 1989's Cat Chaser.
Pass.
In a change, Weller is a not-yet-disgraced former CTU agent on this series.
Pass.
1995's Screamers is a lesser-known adaptation of the works of this Minority Report writer.
Pass.
In 1988's Shakedown, Weller isn't the disgraced cop this mustachioed roadhouse actor is.
Patrick Swayze.
Sam Elliott. Robert Burke replaced Weller for the third installment of this franchise.
Pass. I have no idea.
That is RoboCop 3 featuring Robert Burke after Weller was the role in the first two. All right, Dave, let's hear the Chloe report.
All right, well, Chloe had a tough time with old Weller. She only got one question right, but let's go over those passes. He played a corrupt ex-cop on the FX series Son of Anarchy. Big Trouble in Little China was not a Buckaroo Banzai project at the start of its life. Weller is the ex-cop antagonist of this successful title character. We're talking again, MacGyver. MacGyver's back. Kelly McGillis was the Top Gun actress that was also in Cat Chaser. Weller was a not-yet-disgraced former CTU agent on 24. And 1995 Screamers is a lesser-known adaptation of Philip K. Dick's Minority Report. Chloe, yes, got one question right. Gives her a total of 70 points, which is not quite enough to put her into first. Tom is up next and will need six answers to do just that.
All right, Tom. Three lightning round options still on the board. They are Good Boys Hunting, Joe Don Barker, and Year of the Dog.
I'll go with Good Boys Hunting.
Do you got a guess as to what's going on with Good Boys Hunting?
I kind of assume it's like Matt Damon, Ben Affleck stuff.
You are absolutely spot on, Tom. This is about the Good Will Hunting boys, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading your first question. Tom, are you ready?
Yes.
Affleck and Damon produced this filmmaking-based documentary series for HBO.
Project Greenlight.
Damon plays the title role in this Spielberg war film.
Pass.
Affleck coaches this sport in 2020's The Way Back.
Basketball.
Damon uses his own waste to grow this root vegetable in The Martian.
Potato.
Affleck's 1984 series The Voyage of the Mimi concerned these marine mammals.
Dolphins.
Humpback whales. A long-running gag has Matt Damon being bumped from appearing on this ABC talk show.
Jimmy Kimmel.
While Affleck won Best Picture for Argo, he lost Best Director to this Life of Pi helmer.
Ang Lee.
This is the only released MCU movie to feature Matt Damon.
The Thor Ragnarok.
In Shakespeare in Love, Affleck's character takes on this Romeo and Juliet role.
Paris.
Mercutio. Damon is a conjoined twin with this actor in Stuck on You.
Pass.
After Affleck, this actor assumed the role of Daredevil in the Netflix version.
Matthew Cox.
Charlie Cox.
Charlie.
Not to be confused with Matthew Fox.
I love this Dr. Seuss game.
All right, Dave, let's hear the Tom report.
All right, Tom made good use of his time. He passed when he needed to. He went for it when he thought he had a chance. Two passes to go over, one of which I think he actually knows. Based on the pained expression 2 seconds after he passed, Damon plays the title role in this Spielberg war film, Tom.
Saving Private Ryan.
That is, in fact, correct. And Damon is a conjoined twin with Greg Kinnear in the movie Stuck on You. Well, we said that Tom needed six to pull ahead into first. He got six with a total of 115. That means Rob is up next and will need, pressures on, one correct answer to move into first. Let's see if he can do it.
All right, Rob, two options left for you. They are Joe Don Barker and Year of the Dog.
Given what we've heard so far, I'm afraid Joe Don Barker is the life and times of Joe Don Baker. I don't know much about him, so Year of the Dog sounds like movies from a particular year. I'll go with that one.
You're pretty much spot on. We're talking all the pop culture of a recent Year of the Dog on the Chinese zodiac calendar. That is going to be the year 2006. So all about pop culture happenings of the year 2006. 90 seconds on the clock. Rob, are you ready?
Yes.
She starts her run as Hannah Montana.
Miley Cyrus.
While it won't get picked up to series, the CW releases the pilot for this benthic superhero show online.
Arrow.
Aquaman. This much-shipped sitcom couple has their first kiss in the Casino Night episode.
Pam and Jim.
Tina Fey is forced to hire Tracy Jordan for this fictional show in the premiere of 30 Rock.
The Girly Show.
Oprah confronts him over fabrications in his memoir, A Million Little Pieces.
James Fry.
Brett Ratner takes over this superhero franchise with The Last Stand.
X-Men.
His radio show moves to Sirius Satellite Radio.
Howard Stern.
VH1 plays the video for this German anti-war hit for an hour on repeat after a generous donation.
Winds of Change.
99 Luftballons. In this Microsoft device is supposed to compete with the iPod.
The Zune.
The soundtrack of this Disney Channel original movie is the best-selling album of the year.
Pass.
She sweeps all the major supporting actress awards for her role in Dreamgirls.
Pass.
Tony Shalhoub wins an Emmy for this show.
Monk.
Monk is correct, but after the buzzer. All right, Dave, let's hear the Rob Report and the final scores.
You betcha. Only two passes to go over for Rob's lightning round. The soundtrack for the Disney Channel original movie High School Musical was the best-selling album of 2006. And Jennifer Hudson swept all the major supporting actress awards for Dreamgirls. Rob got 7 answers correct. So our final scores are: in third place with 70, it is Chloe. Tom finishes in second with 115. And that means our winner, with a total of 175 points, is Rob. Congratulations,
hey, Rob.
Rob.
Yay. Yay. Congratulations, Rob. And thanks again for playing to Chloe and Tom. Fantastic game. I'm glad you enjoyed, hopefully, all of our canine shenanigans throughout this episode. Please come back and play in the future. But before we go, listeners, if you are looking to learn about hierarchically structured materials for photoelectrochemical reactions and turning sunlight into fuels,
you
should check out Rob's research group on Twitter. That is at Corydon Lab for all his scientific goings on. And Chloe is making a musical. Check out her process and progress as she chronicles it on Instagram. She is at Chloe Makes a Musical. Links to all of these things are in the show notes. And of course, don't forget to follow Rob moving forward as the koala emoji over on our Season 7 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the second elimination match back over in the Chronic Town division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of the absent Scoremaster Dan and the present acting Scoremaster and current production master Dave, thank you again for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.